Come on, then.
Knights and knaves, from Camelot to Concord.
All right, we'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Round Table on 95.7 The Game.
On the right wing, in and out dribble, between the legs, offer step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I'm very nice.
And the Saint, Gary St. Jean.
What up, what up, what up, folks? We welcome you to Warriors Roundtable here on 95.7 The Game. Kevin Dan alongside Gary St. Jean reminding you that the Warriors 2024-25 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente. And later on in the show, we will be giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Warriors game when we'll take the seventh caller at 415-523-4652. Again, that's later on in the show. If you want to talk dubs with Gary St. Jean and I, that is 888-957-9570. Again, that number, 888-957-9570. And a lot to get to, Saint, and not a lot of good news because the Warriors lose in heartbreaking fashion again. They've dropped 8 in a row to Denver, and they've lost 5 in a row overall to drop to 12-8. And honestly, Saint, I mean, Golden State could have won 4 of these last 5 games, and we could be talking about a team that is, let me do the math in my head, what would that be, 16-4 instead of 12-8, and things would be feeling a lot rosier. But just another tough one, another blown lead late down the stretch.
Kev, it's just to me a story about the parity within the league. And you look night in and night out, and there's so many teams you look and say, geez, I just think they're on their way, and somebody rises up and plays a great game. You know, you're trying to beat one of the top 3 teams in the West without Draymond, and that's a tall task. And I thought the team, as you noted, played really well for a long period of the game, a lot of positives, but you come up short at the end. But it's going to be this way. I just really feel that way about the rest of the year. It's this Western Conference is as tight as I've ever seen it. And there's a lot of good players and a lot of good teams. And yeah, there were some mistakes made, and they were made by players, by referees. And I know we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, let's start with the mistake made by the referee and the crew chief Tyler Ford talking after the game in the pool report about this play. Christian Brown called a timeout, signaled for a timeout. It certainly looked like it when Denver didn't have one, diving for loose ball. By the way, heck of an effort play there by Christian Brown. Oh. I mean, he was completely horizontal to beat the Warriors to the basketball there, but he clearly called timeout. Should have had like 3 seconds left on the clock. Golden State would have put Steph Curry to the line, who's going to make the technical free throw. It's a 3-point game. Tyler Ford said Brown never fully or clearly signaled for a timeout, therefore timeout wasn't recognized. I disagree. Do you disagree?
200%. Now let's get into the mechanics of this. Yeah, you can hand single the guy with the ball. Teammates can hand single. But I really think that Bron was verbally signaling that he wanted a timeout. I'm not a lip reader, but I sure thought he was calling for timeout. And, you know, this happens. Players don't know. They don't listen. And I definitely think that they just pushed this thing to the side because there was a way. You make that technical, and, you know, I know it's a long shot to make a 3 on a side out of bounds with a second and a half left, but when you got Steph Curry, that thing's all possible. And I don't blame Steve for being really hot about it after the game at all.
Yeah, I don't blame Coach Kerr for being hot about it either. I will say that did not cost them the game. And even if they do get that technical foul called, I think it's a very long shot that the Warriors send that one to overtime. Even though you have Stephen Curry, you know, or Denver knows exactly what Golden State's going to do in that situation. They're going to go for a 3, and they're going to defend. They're probably going to put 2-3 guys on Steph. They're going to make sure that Steph doesn't get a clean look, and they're going to force someone else on Golden State to make that shot. And considering their late game execution in this game in particular, I don't think a 3 was a likely outcome to send it to overtime.
No. No, I agree with you. And beyond that, Kev, they probably would have fouled. With that little clock, as soon as the guy gets it, you're right there with him, you follow him. And, you know, that you might even, it's a one-pass play. Now, you and I have talked a lot about this in the past. With 3 to 5 seconds, you get one pass. Maybe you can get a second if you got 5 seconds. But if it gets below 3 seconds and it's two or whatever, you're only going to make one pass. And that's what really makes it difficult.
Yeah, it really does. And look, that's not why they lost game. Let's talk about some plays that did kind of cost them the game late. There was that one play. Let's start with Jonathan Kuminga. He was trying to take on Nikola Jokic. It was late in the game. I saw some people online saying he should have passed the ball to Stephen Curry or slow-mo. I watched the replay. I'm just not sure that pass was there. If he was going to throw it to Steph on the ring, he was going to have to touch it over a defender with a lob that could have easily been picked off. I just didn't think that was a good pass. Or you have Anderson going down the lane, which I think that would have been a very tight window to fit. I didn't mind his decision-making, but how many times this year have we seen Kuminga try to go up and just kind of flail his arms and lose the basketball in the process and not get a whistle?
Well, you know, we categorize players as facilitators and finishers. Now, who's the best facilitator on a drive on the team? It's Draymond, and he wasn't playing.
Yep.
Who's probably the best guy off a dribble penetration finishing at the rim? Probably Kuminga or Wiggins. You want guys to stay to their strengths and go away from your weaknesses. So for him to take that right at him, I don't have any issue with that at all. None.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with it either. Again, just we've seen it a lot of times this year where he has lost the ball in a situation like that. But Jonathan Kuminga was playing a great game, 19 points, 9 of 18. We'll get into more of Kuminga's game later. Another play that I think some thought was a bad call, certainly the TV call, thought it was a bad call. Kevon Looney's foul on Jamal Murray and it not getting overturned. Personally, I was fine with this call because you do see Kevon put his hand on Jamal Murray's back first, and I don't think Jamal was really going out of his way to create contact. But what did you think of that play?
You know, Kev, too many of us just focus on the ball, and maybe the ball was blocked by the hand, but you can get a foul by using the offhand on the body, which happens an awful lot, or you might come in there with your hip or whatever when you go up to block it, and that's all part of the play, and that's what they're looking at. They're not just looking at the ball, and too many times we get hung up on that, so I'm with you on that 100%.
Well, a lot of late-game mistakes made by Brandon Podziemski, who did have a good game, but I do want to play this clip from Steve Kerr. Lucas, if you could fire it up. This is what Steve Kerr had to say about Podziemski needing to be a smarter player than Saint. We'll get your take after what we listen to what Steve Kerr says right now on Pods.
So Pods a hell of a player, but he needs to, and I've told him this, he needs to be a smart player. He's one of our guys who's capable of making really good decisions. He had a lob when we were up 12 in the late second quarter that was frankly insane. It's a 5-on-4. He just keep hitting singles, throw the ball to the open guy. He had the same play last week against Brooklyn where he tried to throw a lob over his shoulder. He cannot be that guy, you know, and he can't foul jump shooters. So I love Brandon. He's a hell of a player. He's got a hell of a future ahead of him. But I hope he watches this clip right now of me talking because he needs to hear it. He's got to be a smart, tough, great decision maker, and he's very capable of it, but that's his next step.
Well, beautifully said about a young player. Now, you've heard me say this many a night. You need to play hard, and you need to play smart. And to me, that's not playing smart. You're fouling jump shooters. You're throwing lobs. I love Steve's phrase about hitting singles and not trying to hit Grand Slam home runs. I thought he got caught up in the game. He had a pass ahead to Davis, I thought, for a dunk. And he goes, holds on to it and goes for the lob, and then they turn around and go down there and score. And you know what? When you're on a on the road against a quality team, you can't have that happening. Now, I think he's a bright young guy, but again, he's not going to be your – he's a glue guy. He's going to play defense. He's going to take charges. He's going to rebound. I'm glad he's shooting the ball a little bit better, but frankly, that doesn't define him. It's the other things that he does. So he cannot make those mistakes and get good minutes. Otherwise, you know the best way to learn? A trip to the Pine.
That'll certainly send a clear message. And look, Brandon did have a good overall game. 13 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. He's last three games, he's averaging 12.3 points per contest. That's gotten his average up to 8 points per game. Obviously, you want to see Brandon in double figures, and there were high expectations placed on him. But those mistakes, those mental errors that a 21-year-old will make certainly got kind of highlighted in last night's game. I mean, the wild pass out of bounds where he's – Pod said the ball slipped out of his hand. It's a 9-point game, 5 minutes to go. Just another instance of Golden State not executing down the stretch. As some fans I saw got mad at Pods for not feeding Andrew Wiggins when he had Jokic on him. This was late in the game. He wanted to get the switch to have Jokic on him and miss the step back three. I don't mind that one personally for Pods because I admire his confidence, but he has been shooting 21% from three this season.
Yeah. No, I'm going the other way. I want the ball in one of my best driver's hands on the perimeter to attack one of their bigs who's not very mobile. That was a better matchup than him going against Jokic. And that to me, that's a mistake. I'll do that one 10 days in a row. You know, you got to understand matchups in the league. And when you get them, you may not be a shot for you, but you make the defense rotate to help on your dribble penetration, and you find an open shooter on the perimeter. It's understanding how the game is played. And this isn't about you, it's about the whole team.
Celebrate local heroes night at Chase Center as the Warriors face the Minnesota Timberwolves this Friday, December 6th. Get your tickets now at warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP representative Stan Nepi. Speaking of tickets, we'll be giving some tickets away on the other side of this break right here on 95.7 The Game.
Sir Kevin and Sir Gary welcome you back to the Warriors Roundtable.
Launches a three. Gucci!
On the Valiant 95.7 The Game.
Join us at Chase Center on December 20th for the Invisalign Bay Area Women's Classic. Don't miss Stanford versus Ohio State. Excuse me, the Ohio State at 5:30 p.m. and then UCLA versus Creighton at 8 p.m. Get your tickets now at ChaseCenter.com. I'm sorry, Ryan Day. I forgot what your school is actually called. All right, it's time to give away those tickets to an upcoming Warriors game. Call the contest line at 415-523-4652. And if you are caller number 7, you will get a pair of tickets. We will announce the winner at some point on this show by show's end. And we will be doing this all year long for our Warriors Roundtable ticket giveaway. All right, more on the loss to Denver. More great news to get to from last night. How about the fouling? The Nuggets shooting 35 free throws. And look, I remember the 2021 season where the Warriors blew a lot of games. They were in a lot of games, finished the season 39-33, but easily could have been like 45-27. And one issue they had that year is that they would put teams into the bonus early in quarters. Third quarter last night, they had committed the fourth team foul with 9:27 to go in the third quarter, and they were at a 14 free throw discrepancy in a 4-point game. That's never a good thing.
Now, you know, on the road, Kev, that spells Dr. Doom. You know, you got to be careful. The officials, to me, what's upsetting me watching games this year is the inconsistency. The game gets physical, and then it gets ticky-tack, you know, how they're handling screen situations. So I'm not going to give the referees a free pass on that. But defenders, you play defense with your feet, verbalize to your teammates, know when you're switching, know when you're guarding a shooter that you got to get over the screen. All these things that you do to prepare. That's why you have video sessions. That's why you have walkthroughs. So you're tight on everybody's responsibilities. And a lot of times, fouls are bailouts. And you can't have it. That is a good team. I know they've lost a lot of pieces the last 2 years. But boy, when you got that guy in the middle, everybody just notches up their game. Because you know if you move, you're going to have good things happen. If the ball goes up, you know he's going to get the rebound. You run like Braun on the wing, and you're going to get layups. So it's a thorn in your side, and good teams don't get in those situations.
Yeah, and you know, just looking back at these last couple of seasons, now the Nuggets have won 8 straight, and it's been rare, very rare, that a team has had the Warriors number like Denver has these last couple of seasons, basically since Golden State defeated them in the first round of the 2022 NBA playoffs. It has pretty much been all Denver against Golden State, and that's been very rare for a Steph Curry-led team.
Yeah, I agree with you. Look, Michael Malone's a good coach. He coached here as an assistant. He's been in the league a long time. He's got a heck of a staff. He's got bright players. And this system has been intact for quite a number of years, and it's been successful. And, you lose a guy like lose Pope, and you say, holy cow, you know, you're in trouble on the perimeter. But Braun impressed me last night, except for the last play there when he dove on the floor. This team here, you know, at the end of the day, we're ranting and raving about OKC, but we can't count that team out. They've got a lot of quality pieces. There's been a big controversy that all these guys have left, and they've depending upon the draft because their bench is suspect. But they've got it going right now.
Yeah, and I will say Christian Brown's done a really nice job. Peyton Watson's turning into a pretty nice player too. Obviously,
great
his
call.
Athleticism and his defense, but his shot looks like it has come miles from where it was coming out of UCLA. Like, he's a respectable three-point shooter now, where, I mean, that thing looked broke a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that, you know what, Kev? They use the expression in the NBA, put your work in. Do your work. Well, it's not just in season. It's out of season. And breaking down your shot and then getting to work. And, you've got time to shoot and get out there and get it going. And a guy like that has made himself into now a quality defender, athlete, and now a pretty darn good three-point shooter.
Yeah. One other bad note to get to. Then we'll get into some positive from this game. The turnovers. And it wasn't that 15 turnovers overall. For Golden State, it's a little bit above normal, but certainly nothing super concerning. But they had one turnover with 4 minutes to go in the second quarter. Just one through the first 20 minutes of the game, and then 14 over the last 28 minutes and 8 in the third quarter alone. And it just feels like once the Warriors turn it over a couple of times, sometimes they could just get into an avalanche of turnovers, and that's what happened against the Nuggets.
And, Kev, didn't you think a lot of them were live ball turnovers? And
yes.
Because of that, you can turn the ball over and it goes out of bounds. But when you have live ball turnovers and then get into transition from defense to offense like they do, in years past, I didn't think that was one of their strengths. But they got a commitment now to run the floor, and I love it. They put a heck of a strain on you, and they do a terrific job with it. So kudos to them. I, as you said, cripe, in the first half, I could be wrong, but I think both teams had 19 assists or something like that. Really moving the ball and moving people. And then in the second half, as you said, the turnovers caught up with them, and that allowed them to get out in the open floor.
And it led to 22 points for Denver off turnovers. Yep. And when we were talking about Brandon Pajemski and some of his turnovers, the one you mentioned earlier where he had Trace Jackson Davis for a layup or a dunk potentially and then tried to lob it in traffic, that led to a layup three seconds later. And those are backbreakers. Those are four-point swings. And it felt like there were three, four, five of those four-point swings in a four-point loss.
Yeah, those kind of plays can make the difference in a game, especially when you're on the road. You know, those you've got momentum, and then all of a sudden you just hand it on a silver platter to the other team. They're feeling really good about themselves. So I think that was a play that needed to be magnified, and a smart player learns from his mistakes. And you make the cut and dry play. When you're on the middle on a break and you got the ball, you're the decision maker. How many people are back on D? If there's only one and you got a teammate with you, you hold on to it till that guy commits and you attack as a two-on-one. But when you sense that they've got two defenders back and maybe you got two wings filled, now you kind of take it to one side, make that top guy stay with you and read the bottom guy. And if he stays right underneath there or cheats a little bit to the side where you've got the ball, that weak side guy's got a lane to go in for a dunk. So that's just experience reading the break and understanding what's available and taking it.
Yeah, and hopefully that's something that certainly has been it's been hammered home to Brandon Pajemski now. And
yeah,
you imagine that he will make the necessary adjustment. Probably not going to happen overnight. Look, he's only 21 sure. years old, but I do have faith that he will make those improvements as his career goes on. You're tuned into Warriors Roundtable here on 95.7 The Game. If you want to talk with the same night, the number is 888-957-9570. How concerned are you during this five-game losing streak? What adjustments do the Warriors need to make? We are interested in your input. If you're calling up for the tickets, well, too late, because we have a winner, and that winner is Zucci Main in Benicia. So Zucci Main, winner of a pair of tickets to an upcoming Warriors game. Again, we will be doing this all year long on a Warriors Roundtable ticket giveaway. Time for the positives from last night, and there were positives. So let's start with Jonathan Kuminga, arguably his best game of the season. He started two of the last three games after basically being on the bench for a month. 19 points, 5 rebounds, didn't turn the ball over. And what impressed me most, Saint, was his patience and his shot yes. selection.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, as you get older, you're not in a rush all the time. You read the defender. They're going to tell you what to do. And he had a poise about him where if they sagged off him, he was ready to shoot. But if they were uptight or whatever, he created space to make the pass. And you made a great point about the one that he got for Steph, an open shot. So, yeah, I like this game. And that's growth. And we've talked about him starting and not starting. I don't have any problems with him starting, because that guy's going to get you points. And if it's if that's what's needed to get off to a good start, then, you know, let's go for it. But you're going to get into a big debate, and there's no right answer here. How are you going to play? They don't want to play Draymond at five more than, what do you want to say, Kev, 10, 15 minutes?
Yeah, 15 would be pushing it.
Okay, so now you've got Looney, who I think is playing really well, or Davis. And now could he play three? Well, I like him more as a four. I think he's right now, maybe in time to come, he will be. I think he envisions himself as a three. But he is a guy that's going to attack the basket. I'm not looking to him to make beautiful decisions and come up with seven assists every night. He's going to be a scorer. And I think that's where he is right now. Now, can he grow and get better? Absolutely. But I think we need this guy to really be productive for us every night, night in, night out.
Well, Steve Kerr certainly likes him as a four as well. I like him as a four. If he wants to be a three, he probably needs to be around 37% from three. And
there you go.
So he's just not living there right now. By the way, you mentioned that you thought both teams had about 19 assists in the first half. You're basically right, Saint. 19 assists for Golden State in the first half. I was just able to pull up the game book. 18 assists for Denver. So really both teams moving the ball really well in that game. But how important, going back to Kuminga, is it to define a role for him with respect to starting / coming off the bench for a guy who's only 22 years old?
Well, you know, in today's game, it's so much read and react. and you get into some sets, but it's more about early offense and what are your concepts, what you're trying to do. And in the old days, you ran plays and plays and if I was to say, what am I going to run for Kevin? Okay, we're going to get him coming off a staggered double on the right side. Then we're going to go the other way and maybe post him up on a mismatch on the left box. And nowadays, you just don't see that a lot. But within what you do, you figure out where this guy is best. Your job as a coach is to try to get him in the most advantageous positions for him to succeed. And for me, he gets out on the break, he can run like heck, but in the half-court game, get him in a position with movement and get him to a spot where he only has to take one dribble attacking the basket, two max. But when you do that, now you're really, really utilizing his athleticism because most people can't stay with him in those kind of situations.
Well, I'm glad, Coach, you mentioned that we should run a post-up for Kevin. You're maybe the only coach that recognizes my underrated post-up game. So I appreciate that.
But
going back to another guy who can post up, who will play in the post, defensively very good in the post, Kevon Looney, who's in the starting lineup last night over Trayce Jackson-Davis. Trayce has had some down games as of late, missed a couple of bunnies last night, but Kevon was great. 5 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. He did foul out with a minute 48 to go. And talk about late game execution and how the Warriors just didn't really score down the stretch, how the game ended on a 10-0 run for Denver. Well, when he fouled out, and you don't think about Looney as a go-to scoring option, but the Warriors were up 4, and when he left the game, Denver outscored Golden State 8-0 the rest of the way, yeah. And I don't think that's just coincidental.
Well, this guy's championship pedigree, and you ask guys that have played with him what they think of him. Now, don't start looking at points. Talk to me about his screen setting. Talk to me about his rebounds per minute. You and I talk about big guys getting a board every 3 minutes. He's a great example of that. Pretty darn solid passer. But look what he's done to his body. Oh, my gosh, he looks so much better. And then one of the best things that we don't talk about with him, he's the only big, and I'm not going to say Draymond because, yes, he can do this, but Looney easily can switch on pick and rolls, big and small. And he does a great job containing the guy with the ball on the bounce. He does winning things for your basketball team.
Yeah, he really does. And you go back to the game 6 against Memphis where they put him back in the starting lineup and he gets 22 rebounds, I believe it was, in that game to close the casket on the Grizzlies that season. He's such a comfort valve for Draymond Green and Steph Curry out there, just knows how to play. And it's nice to see him have a bit of a bounce-back season after some ups and downs last year. Now, speaking of Draymond Green, he did not play last night with left calf tightness. He got an MRI today. He has been ruled out for the game tomorrow against Houston. So has Stephen Curry, that being reported by Anthony Slater. So no Steph and no Draymond. But the last two seasons, now NBC Sports Bay Area ran this graphic last night. The Warriors are 49-28 with Draymond in the lineup. That's pretty darn good. And without him in the lineup, they are 13-15 after last night's loss.
Well, you know, so much is written about his defense. And my gosh, it's well earned. You know, he can play bigs, he can play smalls, he gets on that weak side low spot. I've talked to you about him being the orchestra leader. He reads plays 2 or 3 counts ahead, and he allows his other guys in front of him to be aggressive because he can cover up everything on the back line. But where he's just masterful, it's the point forward position, you know, which we ran, gosh, 1980, you know, Marcus Johnson with Nelly. And I'm going to tell you, Draymond, that we're calling him a 4. So now, you didn't do that. It was with your 3 in the old days. We did it with Paul Pressey, and I can go on and on. But this guy here, not just running the break, but it's when he gets the ball off the elbows, the intersection of the free throw line and the lane. Those are the that's the best area on the floor to pass, the angles. The guy's masterful. He's pointing out there. He's telling guys because Steph Curry is a great guy off the bounce, but put a value on him when he's down underneath the basket. I'm telling you what, defenders don't like guarding him down there when he's coming off of screens. But there's Draymond ready to hit him right in the wheelhouse when he wants the ball. Or bring, if that's denied, to bring a dribble handoff to him. He's so unique in that way. And he's just carved a beautiful reputation for himself.
You're listening to Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. Kevin Dana, Gary St. Jean with you. If you want to hit us up, the number 888-957-9570. We will head out to the phone lines now. Let's hear from Dogface in Oakland. What's up, Dogface? What's on your mind?
Hey, you know what? Water under the bridge. Sounds like the next game is a scheduled L, but that's okay. So look, I love what I saw in Kuminga. I'm thinking yes. that, man, study DeRozan. Because his mid-range, he had a nice game. He had bank shots. I think if he studied DeRozan or the Washington Wizards Jordan and just play that way and hit the step out and hit the three every now and then. He's so powerful. I think that style of play would suit him better. And he did it last night. He played great. But I want to ask Saint something. So, Saint, once you as a GM have identified, okay, we need this trade and we need this guy, how long would you say a trade actually would take from identification to actually pulling it off on average?
Well, I think you and I could have a case of wine or a case of beer. It's going to take some time because there's a lot of today's world. Kev, you're a Stanford guy. To explain the NBA salary cap now, it's so limiting as to what you can do. Like guys are saying, oh, we need to trade that big contract. Well, to do that, you got to match the money within 25%. And I'm with you. You got a lot of assets, and you can come up with a deal with this team. But what are you going to get in return? And you're working the phones. You're calling around every week. You're checking back in with the other GM saying, hey, you know, how you guys doing? Have you thought a little bit more about whether you'd consider moving this guy? And, you know, here's the list of guys that we talk about. Do we need to get a third team involved? You know, all of that conversation takes place regularly. But it's difficult. Back to your point, which is a really good one about DeRozan. The best mid-range guy we have in the league. So everybody's so enamored with the three ball now. Oh, you know, this guy, you know, he's going to take eight a game. You don't have to be out there. Work on it. Take a couple to keep them honest. But if you have this kind of young, active body and you can get head and shoulders by a guy, then just what you're saying, get it to the rim or be on balance and get those pull-ups. A pull-up is still a great shot. But it's gotten downplayed because we're all married now to the 3 points and the analytics. But I love your point. It's well taken.
Yeah, I'm to back up what you're saying, Saint. I'll say this about the mid-range pull-up. If you completely eliminate the mid-range from the game, then a defense could just load up on either the drive or the three-point shot. If you have that mid-range pull-up, it's going to at least keep a defense honest. And if, you know, Kuminga has shown a nice capability of hitting that shot. Obviously, he's not the level of DeMar DeRozan yet. Nobody really is. But I there is definitely a place in the NBA for the mid-range. I feel like we have this conversation. There's like front office execs who are like, you know, a mid-range jumper is a bad shot. And then you have everyone in the media who says, oh, the mid-range ain't dead yet. Bring back the mid-range. Look, I wish I could speak English right now. Is it the least efficient shot mathematically? Sure, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't take it at all because there is definitely a place for it.
Yep.
You don't want to be shooting a ton of non-paint twos, as the phrase goes now, but it certainly should be at least somewhat a part of your shot diet, I think.
Kev, you're right. And let me add one point. You know, we all talking about this three ball, and then guys are like Boston, they're averaging like 50 a game. And then, you know, you've got guys that are making them. So the analytics talk to you that it's good. But then you say this guy's a pretty good three-point shooter, but a lot of guys can't finish at the rim. And they're not all guards. There's a lot of guys who just are not good finishers. Well, we got an answer for you. That mid-range shot, and that's about controlling your body. Because when you get head and shoulders by the defender, if the guy runs at you on a three and you pump fake and you don't sidestep like Steph does, you start to dribble. And now it's ability to read what's in front of you. And if it's a big, you take the mid-range or you pass. But if it's a small, you should take it to the basket. So there's so much involved in just your possession of the ball.
Yeah, no, there really is. That is a good point, Saint. As you're listening to Warriors Roundtable here on 95.7 The Game. Saint, I hate to bring this up. Are you watching your son Greg's team right now?
Why do you think my voice is a little strong?
It is.
You know what?
Not
I haven't
good.
Eaten yet, but I don't even know if I can digest my food.
Well, the good news
Lakers
is
Lakers are down to the Miami Heat, 134-93. And I think that they were on Coca Gabbana or whatever the heck it was last night, because that happens to many teams that go into Atlanta. But they have lost their mojo. They got walloped their last game. And now this one in Minnesota swamped them, and now this one. So they need to win. But this is what I'm getting at. They were off to a great start. Everyone's ranting and raving about them. You got to keep that identity. Well, who are you? And how do you play as a team? I'm really, for example, really impressed with Miami tonight.
Yeah, they've been playing very well in this game. Well, tis the season to celebrate the Warriors with the Holiday Hoops mini plans presented by Rakuten. Rakuten is giving members 20% cash back with the purchase of any of the three available plans. Visit warriors.com/holidayhoops to purchase now. Terms and conditions apply. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will wrap up Warriors Roundtable by talking about the upcoming game against the Houston Rockets, who they will also be facing in the NBA Cup quarterfinals, maybe a little bit on that loss to Phoenix as well. And a quick shout out to Pat Spencer if we have time. All that to look forward to, and taking your calls, 888-957-9570 right here on 95.7 The Game.
After some heated debate.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate? Not at all. They could be carried. A swallow carrying a coconut?
The Warriors Roundtable is back on 95.7 The Game.
Let's take a look at some upcoming broadcasts presented by Ticketmaster. Tomorrow night, Jewish Heritage Night at Chase Center, as Warriors welcome the Houston Rockets at down 6:30 on the air with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert, tipping at 7 p.m. Then the next night, it's Local Heroes Night when the Minnesota Timberwolves come to Chase, 6:30 airtime, 7 p.m. tip time. Then on Sunday, Filipino Heritage Night, the back end of a two-game baseball series with the Minnesota Timberwolves, a game also presented by Cache Creek Casino Resort, as that game will be tipping off at 5:30 p.m. and on air at 5 p.m. Then the Warriors will be taking on the Houston Rockets one more time in the NBA Cup quarterfinals, 6 p.m. on the air, 6:30 tip time from Houston on December 11th. And then there will be one more NBA Cup game after that before the remaining regular season resumes December 19th. In Memphis against a good Grizzlies team. So let's talk about the Houston Rockets. If you want to talk about the Houston Rockets with the Saint myself or any other Warriors topic, you got 11 minutes to do so. 888-957-9570 is the line. And Saint, Houston has rocketed up to number two in the West, 15-7. They recently beat Oklahoma City, though they are coming off a loss to the Sacramento Kings last night. And of course, last time they played Saint, Golden State nearly blew a 31-point lead and held on for an OT victory.
Well, I thought that was the craziest game of the year so far. But, you know, hey, they got to be the surprise team in the West. I had them battling down for the play-in. And give Udoka and his crew a lot of credit. You know, I'm not a big Brooks guy, but he's a tough son of a gun. And then you got Van Fleet. He knows how to win. And you got a bunch of other young guys. I am really impressed with Sengun. I think he's got a very, very big upside there. Their young center. And, you know, when you look at that team, Green is a heck of an athlete, very capable scorer. So they got a lot of balance on that roster. They compete. They're tough. They defend. And they're a tough team to play.
No, they really are. And the thing about them is that they are very balanced scoring-wise. Yes. They average 114 points per game as a team. Seven guys average at least 11 points per game, and nobody more than the 19.3 of Jalen Green. So they could hit you in a variety of ways.
Yeah. You know, Green, Kev, again, you're the master here. I think he played a prolific prep.
He did. You're right.
Yeah, he's a talented kid. You know, I think he thinks he's Michael Jordan already. But, you know, he's got a coach there that's going to be strong with him. And he needs that because he's a heck of an athlete. From the shoulders down, he's special. He just needs to grow up, and he has a chance to be very, very special.
He does have a chance to be special. I mean, they were talking about him being a 30-point-per-game scorer in the NBA before he ever played a game in the NBA. That's kind of the ceiling that people thought that Jalen Green had. Now, his pre-draft year was marred by COVID. He played with G League Ignite with Jonathan Kuminga, and, of course, they only got in 15 games at a bubble. So it really wasn't a full season, wasn't close to a full season. That might have stunted his development a little bit just because he couldn't get the game reps, and the same could be said for Jonathan Kuminga. But you're right, he's a prolific prep guy. He's originally from Fresno, so a Central Cali kid. And, yeah, he is a lot of fun to watch. He's a little inefficient right now. He's shooting like 40% from the field overall and about 33% from three. But I would like to – I'm very interested to see how he continues to progress. So the Warriors are going to play them again. Now, tomorrow we got to mention no Draymond Green, no Stephen Curry. What needs to happen, Saint?
Well, you know, this is life in the NBA, and when your main guys are down, who's going to step up for you? Who's going to be the guy that keeps you reined in and playing the way you want to play? And that's really important. It's going to be a situation where, you know, who can guard? Like you look at the Joker last night, Draymond would have been on him for a while. So now, who is it that? It's going to be the best defender out there for you. And who's going to be a guy that's going to make some shots and make good decisions off of screens? And so it's going to be an interesting game. Yeah, you're undermanned, but you're home. And you always – that you can cure a lot of sins by coming home because you start making shots, the fans get behind you, and really good things can happen. So it's going to be an interesting ball game.
Again, NBA Cup quarterfinals, Houston and Golden State, December 11th in Houston. Let's give you the NBA Cup quarterfinal matchups. It's Oklahoma City against Dallas and Golden State against Houston in the West, and it's Orlando versus Milwaukee and the Knicks and Hawks in the East from Madison Square Garden. What are your thoughts on these matchups, Saint?
Well, I guess the most surprising team to me is you know, we've talked about Houston, but to me is Atlanta. Getting in there before Boston and Cleveland. And it's just about playing well at the right time. And here's something that they've done. And this is Landry Fields, ex-great player at Stanford, played in the league for a good number of years. They've got a point guard there that's been much maligned in Young, that they didn't think anybody thought he tried to even defend at all. And he was all about him scoring himself. And I got to commend the guy. He's done a heck of a job. And what they've done, here's the key point. They've gone out and gotten big wings. They got some guys at the 2 and 3 spot that are 6'6", 6'7", 6'8". And you love the versatility that those guys bring. You know, Johnson down there. They've got some guys down there that you really, really like. And so kudos to them. I love the way the Knicks are playing. You know, I'm a Tibbs guy, and I love Brunson. And you know, I look out here and, you know, you got to tip your hat to Houston. And and the other team that I really think has, boy, they got a bright upside because they're doing so well without their best player is Orlando.
Yes.
Boy, oh boy, they're doing terrific. Again, I'm watching all these games and I watched Wagner last week. He takes it like from 35 feet on a 1-4 flat to win the game against the Lakers, knocking down a three. This kid has really grown. He's averaging like 25, 8, and 8 during this stretch that the other guy's out. And so that, and Suggs is one tough son of a gun. He's never going to be a great shooter, but boy, oh boy, he was a quarterback in high school. He's a tough kid. So kudos to them down there.
Well, for someone who is not a great shooter, he hit maybe one of the biggest shots in NCAA tournament history against UCLA.
Yeah.
That half-court kind of runner at the buzzer to beat UCLA in the Final Four. That was an incredible shot. Right now they have a one-point lead late against Philadelphia with 22 seconds to go watching that one. To your point about Atlanta, this team has three wins combined against Cleveland and Boston. They have one in Boston, one in Cleveland. And, oh, yeah, they're 0-2 against the Washington Wizards. Washington, their only wins this year, they're currently on a 15-game losing streak. Their only wins are against the Atlanta Hawks, who are currently up 12 late in the third quarter against Milwaukee, who's been playing lights out as of late. Yeah, I mean, this Atlanta team, you mentioned some of their wings. Zachary Risache has done better than I thought he would his rookie season. I know he's the number one overall pick. I am happy to see him have the year he has. I mean, Dyson Daniels, his steals.
Oh, boy.
He has been just a pest. He's become one of the brightest Ignite stories over the course of...
Oh, he played for the Ignite.
He played for G League Ignite 21-22 season, so the year after Jonathan Kuminga and Jalen Green. So this Atlanta Hawks team, people just kind of wrote them into like the 9 or 10 seed, the play-in. I'm not going to say they're going to finish in the top six with all certainty, but I would not be surprised if they're a 7 seed and they have two shots to host, and maybe they do get to the 6 seed because, I mean, their wins are impressive. They've won 4 in a row, and they started the season 4-7, and they didn't have a couple of their guys. They didn't have a DeAndre Hunter. They didn't have a Bogdan Bogdanovic. Now they're more healthy, and they're starting to put some results together.
Yeah, our old friend Quinn Snyder, who was with the Utah Jazz for a long time, coaching down there, and he's a quality teacher, relates well to players, and I'm just really impressed. They're doing a heck of a job.
That they are. You know who else did a heck of a job in spot minutes? Pat Spencer last Wednesday against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Look, he really changed the game. That first quarter was ugly. 39-23, he came in, really kind of gave the Warriors some life, got some rotation minutes at Phoenix, had like 3 assists in 8.5 minutes in that game. And I'm telling you, this guy is super athletic, and he is super competitive, and that's a good combination to have. He showed it in Santa Cruz the past couple of seasons, and look, I think he's going to have some more rotation minutes by season's end.
Well, I don't know if you remember, back in July, we were doing the summer league little tournament there, and I looked at you and I said, who the heck's this guy? And you said, this is a lacrosse player. Well, you know what he is? He's tough and he's smart. Well, those two attributes can really carry you a long way. That guy there, I don't know how well he shoots it, but he's going to compete defensively and he's going to make good decisions when the basketball's in his hands. So happy for him. To earn those minutes, to have Steve put you in there and really do well, good for him.
Yeah, those were the first rotation minutes of his career, basically. Now, I guess you say third, fourth quarter against Utah in the regular season finale last year. That was when their seeding was already kind of intact, so I don't really count those as real minutes. These ones against Oklahoma City were certainly impactful for Pat Spencer. So we're just about running out of time here on Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. Big thank you to Lucas Alexander behind the glass for us, for Marika Kleto, who gave us our sponsor reads, and for RC Davis. Alongside Gary St. Jean, I'm Kevin Dan, and we will talk to you next week. The Warriors got a couple of games with the Houston Rockets and Minnesota Timberwolves coming up. See if they can snap this 5-game skid. You've been listening to Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step, left wing, 3, cha-ching! 58-41, Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout, because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
Well, you have to know these things when you're a king, you know.